Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The great Pete Abraham is back on the Mahogany, waxing up poetically before the ALCS starts at Fenway over the weekend, Saturday. And Pete, always a pleasure, my man. How you been?
Hey, good. How you doing?
I'm good. Mavi, do you want to check that real quick? Because it sounds so horrible. I don't know. What do you think? Hold on 1 second. So I just can't, if it's that bad, I can't do it. It's torture. Are we going to try again? All right, Pete, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Good, man. Hey, sorry about that. So anyway, it's pouring rain here. Who knows? Maybe it's watching the Giants are so bad that's why the phones don't work. Because I mean, literally, they're so bad and Eli Manning's so bad, I think that may have affected your cell phone.
Game, which I'm no longer watching. I can understand that.
All right, so let's talk about the Red Sox. 57-24 at Fenway this year, and they believe that it's, you know, something that they have to hang their hat on at the very least, that this is going to be some kind of an advantage for them when they take on the World Series champion Astros. Do you believe that? Are you buying that? Do you think it's a difference?
I think there is an advantage for the Sox at home, and there's certain things that they do at home better than they do on the road. But what's interesting about this series is the Sox have the best record on at home, the Astros on the road. So something's going to have to give in these first two games. I think with Sale in game one, there's a big advantage for the Red Sox. David Price in game two, I'm not so sure about.
Yeah, I'm not so sure at all. I have to say, when he pitches now, I run to the window against that guy. Like, when he faces the Yankees, forget about it. They own him. Does he have any kind of disadvantage against the Astros when he pitches against them that you know of?
Well, the reason that they're starting him in game two is he's actually pitched pretty well against the Astros going back to last year. He pitched well in the playoffs coming out of the bullpen. He pitched good as a starter this year in two games against the Astros, and he pitched pretty well against them last year as a starter. So the Sox are, I think, at this point, betting on him in terms of his history against Houston and trying to ignore his history in the postseason, which is not something you can ignore. If a couple of runners get on base in the first inning, Fenway Park is going to be a nervous mess, and who knows what happens then. He unraveled against the Yankees very quickly in three or four batters, and they had to take him out of the game. So that first couple of innings against the Astros on Sunday night are going to be something everybody's going to be paying very close attention to.
Pete Abraham of the Boston Globalist. I got to ask you, though, they owe him so much money. What has that turned into in Boston, that relationship? Because he doesn't want to opt out, and they owe him tons of money. And, it's weird. He hasn't been bad at all except against the Yankees. And then you talk about these postseason numbers of his. They're atrocious. So have you heard, like, any rumblings at all of their, you know, distaste for the deal they gave him?
Well, yeah, certainly there is. And at this point, though, there's not much they can do about it on either side of it. I mean, he's not going to opt out and leave $127 million on the table because there's not going to be any getting that in free agency, especially what we saw last winter with free agents. And the Red Sox can't move him. What team is going to take any part of $127 million, guy who can't pitch in the playoffs? So it's a situation, I think they have to figure out a way to make it work. And they had a new pitching coach this year. He had a very good regular season. They were able to straighten out a few things along the way. Now he hits this dip when he faces the Yankees last week. It's something else they need to try to fix. They can't give up on him. They can't put him in the bullpen. You're not going to have a $32 million reliever. So one way or another, they have to figure out a way to make it work for the next couple of years.
You're there every day. Do you sense that his teammates are down on him?
You know, it's funny. Exactly the opposite. They're not. And being around him for the last couple of years, seeing him with his teammates, he's one of the few starting pitchers who I see kind of crosses all the lines in the clubhouse. He hangs out with position players. He hangs out with relievers. He's got friends, you know, in different parts of the team. A lot of times – the starting pitchers are kind of their own group. They're on their own schedule. They play once every 5 days. They're almost like independent contractors. But David is a guy who a lot of guys on the team get along with. A lot of guys speak highly of him. A lot of the other pitchers talk about what he's done for them and the advice he's given them. That's been helpful. So, and it's been that way everywhere he's been. He's been a popular teammate. So if anything, I get the idea in the clubhouse that they're all hoping something good. They want something good to happen for him because they all feel pretty good about him.
I got to tell you, this team is awesome. I love watching them play. They kicked the Yankees' ass. I thought they, I mean, literally. So in the games in the Bronx, I bet on the Red Sox both games. And, on Eovaldi, and then I went with Porcello, and everybody said I was crazy. I think they're just flat out better than the Yankees. It must have tasted really good, that champagne, after kicking their ass.
Well, yeah, especially, you know, given the rivalry all season, and the Yankees and the Red Sox were the only teams that were really in first place all year long. And the Red Sox clinched the American League East when they were in New York a couple weeks ago. Then they were able to clinch, obviously, the other night when they were at Yankee Stadium. That had to feel good for them. And I think the Red Sox got a little tired of hearing, you know, yeah, they won the division, but, you know, they're fallible. There's things that the Yankees can do. The Yankees have more power. The Yankees have a better bullpen. For a team that was the best team in terms of record, I think they kind of went into that series feeling like there were people on the outside who doubted them and they had something to prove.
That lineup is so sickening. And the job that Betts and Martinez have done, I mean, even, you know, you get the backup catcher hitting a home run to the short porch. The guy never caught, Porcello before? Was that what it was? He had never caught?
Yeah, he hadn't caught Porcello all year long.
And he walks into the game and catches him for the first time ever and then jacks basically the game-winning home run. I mean, this lineup is so dangerous. I don't want to sound crazy, but, like, I don't see what's stopping them from just continuing what they've done all year against Houston, why they can't just go and go nuts with their bats. They are such great, disciplined, you know, focused hitters. It's like, to me, every guy in that lineup becomes a painful out.
Yeah, the one thing, you know, they have bullpen issues, but they can out-hit their bullpen issues, and that's what they did against New York. They were able to score enough runs that it didn't really matter that maybe they weren't as good in the bullpen as the Yankees. And I think they can do that against Houston. You know, the Astros, obviously, they have Verlander, they have Cole, they have Keuchel, they have a very good team. But the Red Sox scored runs against them during the season. Alex Cora obviously knows Houston very well from being the bench coach last year. I think that's a big advantage. Now, I'm not saying, you know, he's got some secret way to beat the Astros. That's not it. But I think there's things that he can tell guys within the context of the game, whether it's to look out for a particular pitch or a particular sequence, that's going to help those hitters. And the other thing, you know, in the Yankee series, there were only five guys who started every game. He was willing to move around the lineup, bring guys in, bring guys out, and every time he made a move, those guys produced.
So what do you think of that Sale-Verlander game one? How great is that?
I mean, it's great for baseball. Those two guys, the two best teams in baseball, Fenway Park, Saturday night. I mean, it's everything that baseball wants, you know, just to set up that matchup. And the Red Sox beating the Yankees the other night was very important beyond the obvious that they wanted to clinch the series. It gives Sale a couple days off. It lets them line up their rotation. At that point, the Astros had already eliminated the Indians. So if the Red Sox had to come back and play tonight and it's pouring rain in Boston, the game probably would have been tomorrow. They would have been at a big disadvantage going into that ALCS if they had won. And now they've had a chance to get themselves straightened out, and they'll have Sale and a fully rested bullpen ready for game one.
So Alex Cora, the job he's done, I mean, it's just, there's what else can you say other than he, you know, kicked ass and took names? My question is, what do you think of him in earnest? And then is that Farrell guy getting the Reds job?
Yeah, well, with Cora, I think he's been kind of exactly what they needed. A guy who hasn't been afraid to change things around, to challenge some of the guys who thought they were pretty good into being better. He's taken a guy like Xander Bogaerts and made him into a star-level player instead of just being, you know, like a pretty good player. He's done some things like that along the way. And, you know, it's hard. You know, John Farrell's kind of in a bad spot. I mean, they won 93 games 2 years in a row. They won the division 2 years in a row. There's a lot of teams that would sign up for that. And then Cora shows up and they win 108 games. So it makes Farrell look bad. I do think Farrell can manage in the big leagues again. I think he would be in a better position if it were a young team that he could develop, because he's pretty good at developing players. I don't know that a contending team is going to hire him, but a team like the Reds, it could be a pretty good fit.
So Pete Abraham, Boston Globe. Who do you like in the series? Do you think the Red Sox will take the defending champs or not?
Yeah, I like the Red Sox in six. I think Price could come through and win at least one game. Their bullpen is pretty well rested. And Sale right now, all of the time they spent all summer resting Sale and making sure he was okay, putting him on the DL a couple times, I think that's going to pay off. I think you're going to see Chris Sale at peak Chris Sale in this series and be able to win two games and get them over the top.
So do you think this is the World Series? And if they win that series, that they'll beat either the Dodgers or Brewers?
You know, everybody is saying that because they're the two best teams, but I do kind of wonder if it's a real hard series, six or seven games, and they beat each other up, and the Dodgers or the Brewers get through their series easily, if that's going to be an advantage to them. You know, they're going to have the home field advantage, whoever comes out of the American League, so that's going to be a help. I do think it's the two best teams, but not always, you know, sometimes the best team doesn't end up winning the World Series. For now, the Red Sox just need to try to get through for the first time since 13.
Would you rather go to Lipstick City to cover some World Series games or to Brewtown?
Come on. I want to go. I want to Dodger Stadium, Red Sox Dodgers. That would be the best.
Right. How many Dodger dogs do you think you'll eat?
They don't have Dodger dogs in the press box. I'd have to go out and find them.
Yeah, I think you're capable of doing that. You got to have at least one, for Christ's sakes.
Oh, yeah, they're good. Yeah, no doubt.
Not bad. That's a great stadium, too. You talk about Fenway.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about
Fenway.
That Dodger Stadium is, I mean, it's as meticulous now as it was when it opened.
Yeah. You could eat off the floor in Dodger Stadium, and I would not advise that at Fenway Park, for sure.
Hey, Pete, great stuff, brother. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Anytime, Scott. Thank you.
All right, Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.